From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 25th, 2026. Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says Maine will fight the latest effort by the Trump administration to restrict absentee voting by mail. Federal courts have already struck down pieces of President Trump's executive orders that attempt to limit voting by mail. But yesterday, the Postmaster General told Congress that the Postal Service will not deliver mail-in ballots in states that have refused to provide voter data to the federal government. Maine is among 30 states that have refused to turn over that data. Bellows says the latest effort by the Postal Service is, quote, shocking and unprecedented.
We know that we're a very rural state. We have a lot of older Mainers, people with disabilities, or people commuting long distances to work. And absentee voting and utilization of the mail to receive and return ballots is really important.
Today, a federal judge ruled that the federal government cannot decide who can vote by mail. Bellows says Mainers will be able to vote by mail during the upcoming November election. A recount has confirmed that Suzanne Anderson won the Republican primary for House District 49, which includes Arousic, Georgetown, and Phippsburg. Anderson narrowly edged out fellow Republican Nicholas Hamlin by just 6 votes. Initial results showed Anderson winning by an 8-vote margin. Anderson will now face Democrat Trent Villela in the November general election. And a separate recount also confirmed that Lisa Pratt beat Rachel Phipps for the Democratic nomination in House District 135. That includes part of Kennebunk. Pratt won by 18 votes and appears to be uncontested in the general election. Democratic Senate candidate Graham Plattner says incumbent Susan Collins has used her position to funnel money to her husband's lobbying firm through government appropriations. At a press event in Portland today, Plattner unveiled a policy he calls the Collins Rule, which would require senators to recuse themselves from any vote involving an agency from which their spouse could receive government contracts.
Susan Collins' lobbying firm has received $76 million in federal contracts, tens of millions of dollars of it from agencies that Susan Collins herself oversees. That is not a coincidence. That is a senator using her office to enrich her own household.
It's just one of the policies on his agenda he says will help root out corruption in Washington. Collins' office did not respond to requests for comment by airtime. A federal judge in Portland has ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to release a Lewiston man arrested earlier this month. According to court filings, Eduardo Alves was detained at his home in Lewiston on June 20th and transferred to a Massachusetts jail the next day in violation of a court order barring ICE from moving him out of Maine. Court documents show that Alves entered the country on a valid tourist visa in 2014, applied for asylum, and has no criminal record. U.S. District Court Judge Stacey Newman on Tuesday ruled his detention unlawful and ordered ICE to release him that day. Governor Janet Mills and state lawmakers were in Saco today at a groundbreaking ceremony for Maine's first youth psychiatric residential treatment facility. State Senator Henry Ingerson, one of the project's supporters, says the facility will provide children and their families with dignified care close to home.
And I know through my experiences here that the young residents who come here will be nurtured, they'll be loved, they'll be respected, and their families will be comforted to have their children so close by in this wonderful state of ours.
The $8 million facility will have 16 beds and offer secure, round-the-clock care. Advocates say once construction is complete, Maine and New Hampshire will be the only New England states to have this level of care for children and young adults. Recent rainfall is easing the drought that most of Maine has been experiencing on and off for the past 2 years. At its worst, the entire state was in severe to extreme conditions, with thousands of Mainers' wells drying up. Now, the majority of the state is classified as normal by the U.S. Drought Monitor, except along the coast, where conditions range from abnormal to severe. With more rain in the forecast, experts hope for continued improvements before we reach the hottest part of the summer. Congress this week achieved a rare feat. It passed a sweeping housing bill aimed at building and preserving more affordable homes. Yesterday, President Trump scuttled plans to sign the bill, demanding that Congress first tackle a separate elections measure. Still, some are calling the bipartisan legislation the most significant housing bill that Congress has passed in 30 years. Eric Jorgensen of Maine Housing spoke with host Nicole Ogrisco about some of the nearly 60 provisions in the bill that he says will have potential impacts here in Maine.
Well, what this does, I think, which is exciting, is that it aligns with a lot of the work that's already being done in Maine to expand housing production, especially in rural communities where we really are worried about supply of housing, but also about preserving existing affordable housing that's done through USDA. So it's not necessarily providing a ton of new money for new vast programs, but it's going to make a lot of existing programs work better. There's issues like, you know, environmental reviews and things, which are important parts of federal legislation, but this is going to, they've been very difficult to comply with sometimes. This is going to make them a lot more rational and a lot easier. It also, there's a lot of things it's going to do to help with manufactured housing, make manufactured housing easier to place, more affordable. There's some technical, it's all very technical, but it all adds up to things that are going to really improve stuff. I also think that this issue around zoning and local control is very important. I don't see this bill coming in and trying to force towns to do things they don't want to do, but at the same time, it's going to provide some good examples of best practices. It's going to provide a chance for people to maybe get incentives to do those best practices.
You know, for us here in Maine, mobile home communities have obviously gotten a lot of attention from your agency, from others, the legislature in recent years. Are there provisions in this bill that might help us continue what we've been doing? Is that something you've looked at yet?
There's several things in there around rules for changes that might lower costs for factory-built modular homes and mobile homes. There's a lot of things, but I think the most interesting one is that you don't need to have wheels on a mobile home anymore, or it's going to make it easier to place these things on a permanent basis. Mobile homes are such an important part of Maine's housing equation, but right now there's a lot of really obscure rules around how you place them and how you position them. And this, I think, will loosen that up and make it maybe easier to look at mobile homes more like you might a modular home.
Putting aside the questions about the signing of this bill, when might we see change from this legislation? In other words, are these going to be quick, noticeable fixes or, you know, maybe something else?
Well, first, let me just say, far be it from me to even sort of predict what could happen on the federal level. I can't predict ever what happens with the president or Congress. But I do think that this bill has such a lot of bipartisan stuff in it. Everybody seems to support it. You see that, you know, the stuff that is included in it has come from all over the place. So I think there's a lot of interest in getting this thing over the finish line. I see this bill, the primary impact of this bill is going to be making housing development easier and making existing programs run better. And so I think with that in mind, it's going to be hard to point to specific projects and say, this is because of that bill. However, I think taken together, you're going to start seeing more production. You're going to start seeing more availability of resources through tax credits. You're going to start seeing some other things that are going to help to move the needle on production.
And we should say, Eric, that this bill does not come with new funding for states to build more affordable housing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. This is going to allow us to use a lot of existing resources better. It's going to make it easier to produce stuff using existing programs. There are some exciting new pilot programs that are in there that'll be interesting to see. We don't really know how those are going to work yet, but there are some new programs involved that will have some funding. But for the most part, I see this as a way of stimulating and improving and pushing things forward. And, you know, it's great to see the fact that Congress can act in a bipartisan fashion around something that is simply not very controversial. Everybody agrees that we need housing. Everyone agrees this is a crisis. And so it's really wonderful to see, you know, a breakthrough bill like this come through.
That's Maine Housing's Eric Jorgensen speaking with Maine Public's Nicole Ogrisco. President Trump has 10 days to sign or veto the housing bill. It could also become law without his signature. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, pedestrian safety. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.